So this morning, if you can keep your Bibles open, please, at Revelation, that would be helpful. Chapter 1, we're looking at a few verses or a few chapters in Revelation. So here we have an amazing assurance from the Lord Jesus. Mel Blanc, anybody know that name? It's sad if you do. You may not know his name, but you will know his voice. He is being called a man with a thousand voices. And so you'd easily recognize his voice from the Warner Brothers cartoons, such as Woody Woodpecker, Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Roadrunner, and Barney Rubble, to name but just a few. A wasted youth, you can see. But on his gravestone, it's interesting, under the Star of David, it's got the title or words, "That's all, folks." But you know, that is not all, folks, because when we die, our life is just beginning. And that's a hope that we have, a blessed hope that we can enjoy, that when we die, we will go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven, and life is just given, and we'll be more alive then than we are now. So that's not all, folks. There was a pastor who preached a good sermon, a Good Friday sermon about the cross. It was spot on, both in its content and the delivery of the sermon. At the end of the service, he did as lots of preachers do. He goes to the door, greets the people as they go home. And as the people are leaving, they shake hands with the pastor and they say very complimentary things about the sermon. Well, that's all except one boy who said, "Not bad, just one mistake." "A mistake?" said the pastor. "Unheard of." And what do you mean, a mistake? "You left Jesus on the cross." And the pastor realized, he explained all about the cross, but he forgot to mention, or failed to mention, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is alive today. He died and shed his precious blood upon the cross. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, and he's alive today. Back about, 50 years ago, there was a singer, she was called Betty Lou Mills. Anybody know her? Nobody's agreeing with me. Anyway, she used to go around the countryside singing, and one of the songs that she sang was, "Jesus is alive, very much alive. Jesus is alive today." I did search Google to try and find it, but it's recognized there, but no clips of her singing. And that was always a thrill to me as a young Christian, realizing that Jesus is alive, very much alive, and he's coming again. And you know, the Lord Jesus is the main subject in Revelation. You can look at it and you can see, as again, the Lord Jesus comes through all the way through chapters 1 and 2. We see Christ the exalted priest, the Lord of his churches, chapter 3. Christ is at the center, ministering to his church, chapter 4 and 5. Christ the glorified Lamb in the middle of the throne, reigning, 6 to 18. Christ is as the lion. And he's the focus of the nations. He's judging, chapter 19. Christ is the conquering king. Christ is coming and returning, chapter 20. We see Christ as the heavenly bridegroom and the marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing. And chapter 21 to 22, Christ is the light of that holy city, the new Jerusalem. Did you get it? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. And as we look at the revelation, we better find Christ, because it's a revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ. So beyond the sacred page, we seek the Lord. So as we go through the book of Revelation. Don't get caught up with the signs and the times, because if we do, we'll miss the revelation of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's all about Him. Don't think that knowledge is the most important thing, the most important aspect of interpreting the book of Revelation. It's not. Love is. Love for the Lord. Love for His word. And love for His people. And once we fall in love with the Lord Jesus again, it'll help us fall in love with His word, and we'll seek to hide it in our hearts, and we'll fall in love again with His people. I know they've hurt us. I know we have a habit of hurting each other, saying things that we shouldn't say, or we're unwise. There are 101 things that go on in our lives. And I think when Steve Brady was here, he had a phrase which I think is quite helpful, especially when we're thinking of those hurts and those areas in our lives that, you know, we can't get on. He said, get over it. And we do need to realize, as we look at Revelation, it's we want to fall in love with the Lord again and His word and His people. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and I have the faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Don't miss Him, the Lord Jesus. Revelation 1:7, Marion read to us, look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. How many have wished that the Lord Jesus would come back today? Especially in the light of perhaps all the issues, the problems and difficulties that you've been experiencing, perhaps, and struggling with recently. Probably most of us, if we're true, because of what's happening at home or with our health or at work or just what's happening in the world, we wish that Jesus would come again. When we think about the evil and the hatred and the amazing and cruel things that we hear on in the news, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come today. And I quoted a couple of weeks ago from G. Campbell Morgan, who said, to me, the second coming is a perpetual light in the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay down my head on the pillow without thinking that maybe the morning break will be the final morning has dawned. And I never begin my work without saying perhaps He will interrupt my work and begin His own in me. So Revelation 1:7 is a powerful statement and is also a guarantee that the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle John is unique in the history of the church. Tradition says that he's the only disciple who died a natural death. So here we have John on the island of Patmos between 81 and 96 AD. And the Apostle John was expelled to Patmos because of the emperor. And he disliked people preaching, so the emperor had him expelled there because he preached the gospel there in Ephesus. Nothing new there then, as we heard last week. And a black street preacher called Ali Woody was arrested in London on the 23rd of February this year for so-called breach of the peace. He was preaching the gospel outside Southgate Underground Station. And the preacher pleaded peacefully with two white policemen and asking them not to take away his Bible. But in an humiliating arrest, they placed his arms behind his back, handcuffed him, took his Bible, threw it into the police van. And one of the policemen was heard to say, you should have thought about that before you began to be racist. And when the police arrived to question the street preacher, there was a witness who said that he'd been in Islamophobia, in his preaching. Well, I'll not try and say that again, right, but you know what I mean. A young man was seen running off when the police arrived. The police then arrested him, took him to an unknown police station. Later, they de-arrested him. I think that means let him go. That was according to the Times. They said that. And then the problem is he had no idea where he was, and he had no money to get home. That was just in February, because he preached the gospel. So it's not new, is it? But 9, verse 9 of Revelation 1, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering in the kingdom of patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. All unfulfilled prophecy in the word of God is bound up with the personal, bodily, and visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the assurance we have that the Lord is coming again is something that we need to know, something that we need to be sure about. And Peter tells us exactly what happened in his day. Peter says that there were those who scoffed and laughed and ridiculed the fact that Jesus was coming again. And we read in 1 Peter, where is the promise of his coming, they said. And if you start talking about the fact that Jesus is coming again, and it's imminent, people will scoff and they will laugh. And they will probably say the same sort of thing. Where is the promise of his coming? Well, the promise of his coming is quite clearly seen in the Old Testament. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, all full of the fact that Jesus is coming again. Remember that the major part of the Bible is prophetic, still awaiting to be fulfilled. So if we say, oh, I'm not going to study anything to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we're going to have to confine ourselves to a very select section of the Old Testament. Where is the promise of his coming? Clearly in the Old Testament. And also, it's in the four Gospels. The four Gospels, here we have the inspired and authoritative record of the words of the Lord Jesus. Over and over again, he said, I am coming again. For example, in Matthew 25, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the time, the day, or the hour. And Mark, at that time, you will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds and with great power and glory. Luke 21. There will be a sign in the sun and the moon and the stars. At that time, you will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds and with power and great glory. When these things take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And then John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you'll also be there. And you know the place that I'm going. And that's amazing words of the Lord Jesus. And there's so many, many more clear statements that from our Lord Jesus that he's coming again. Apart from his prayers and his parables and his promises, and in the Gospels, it's there for us all to see the promise of his coming. And the Acts of the Apostles. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at those verses and reminded ourselves of his coming again. Jesus may come back today. So perhaps if a non-Christian decided that they would go to Challow this afternoon at 4 o'clock and Jesus came again at 12 o'clock, you'll be on your own. because all the Christians will be gone. Jesus may come back today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 100 years from now. So what does that mean for all of us? It means we better be ready. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we need to watch and focus on Jesus, because the devil is seeking to distract us from understanding the signs and the closeness of his return. Jesus is coming again. Where is the promise of his coming? In the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, and also in the letters. Some letters from Paul, James, Peter, John, and Jude, for example. The fact that he's coming again, they all tell us about it and about his second coming. It's also in the Revelation. This is the only book that begins with a blessing on those who read it, hear it, and obey it. And there are seven beatitudes or blessings in the book of Revelation. For example, in chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed are those who read aloud the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and take it to heart. Because we understand that the time is near. Again, secondly, in chapter 14, verse 13, that speaks about those who are suffering because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. They'll be blessed. 16:5, look, I come like a thief. Blessed are those who stay awake. 19:9, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the Lord Jesus will be united with his church. And we read that, then the angel said, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then he added, these are the true words of God. Chapter 20, verse 6, those who are raised with Christ at the rapture will be blessed and will be in his presence forever and ever. And 21:7, Jesus says, look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who keep my word, these words of the prophecy as it's written in the scroll. And then finally, chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gate into the city. So the book of Revelation doesn't make any sense whatsoever without the promise of his personal return. The whole message of the book is summed up in, I suppose, Revelation 1, verse 7. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy written on the scroll. Look, I am coming soon. Or then right at the end, chapter 22, verse 7, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. What an amazing thrill that the Lord Jesus, who saved us, is coming to take us back to heaven one day. And we'll be with him forever. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. All the Old Testament writers make reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. There are 1,845 references in the Old Testament. And a total of 17 Old Testament chapters gives it prominence. And of the 260 chapters in the entire New Testament, there are 318 verses to his second coming. Do you get the message? Jesus is coming again. 23 out of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great and wonderful and thrilling event. The four missing books include 3 to individuals written about a particular special subject. The fourth, Galatians, well, that alludes to and implies the second coming anyway. For every prophecy about the first coming of the Lord Jesus, there are eight saying he's coming again. Doesn't all of that mean it's pretty important that Jesus, we understand that Jesus is coming again? After the American troops were forced to surrender the Philippines in May 1942, I hope I'm getting my history right, General Douglas MacArthur vowed that he would retake the islands, and he gave a famous prophetic promise, "I will return." And it was printed on thousands of matchboxes, buttons and bars of soap, and even leaflets were dropped from planes all over the Philippines to encourage, give hope. And MacArthur kept his promise. Better than that, the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, made a similar prophetic promise to his disciples in John 14:3. I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come again. For you and for me. Brothers and sisters, this Lord Jesus shall return again. With his Father's glory, with his angel train, or for all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him, King of glory now. Simple question. Are you ready for his coming? Many years ago, I was invited to preach at a place called Lip Hook Gospel Hall. So, I had a letter, no emails then, and I had a letter from the secretary of the church and said, would I like to come for tea before the evening meeting? So, I wrote back and said, yeah, I'd love to come to tea. Then he wrote back and said a bit later on, I'm sorry, but I've got to preach in the Isle of Wight that same evening, but my sister, she'll give you tea. And go to this address instead. So that was okay. I wrote back, so I looked forward to it. And then, anyway, Jenny and myself then arrived at his sister's house and knocked on the door, and she opened the door and said, it was a bit of a stunned look, and she then said, oh, come in. So we went in, and we went in and sat down in the lounge, and we made polite conversation. Nice day, going to be rainy tomorrow, and, you know, usual sort of thing. And then after a bit, she said, why are you here? Why have you come? She wasn't ready. And it put her in a bit of a panic, and her husband. But I don't remember what happened after that. But she wasn't ready. And much on a more serious note, are you ready for the Lord Jesus who is coming again? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Because the unsaved need to hear the warnings of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 24:14, for example, be ready, for the Son of Man will come in the hour you least expect him. Are you ready? And being ready is simple as A, B, C. Basically, we need to admit that we have sinned and we've left the Lord Jesus outside of your life, trying to live in independence to him. Admit it. Tell him that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Believe that when Jesus died upon the cross, he was paying the penalty and price of your sin. In my place condemned, he stood. And then commit to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to come and take away your sin and live in your heart. And then you'll be ready. But we do need to make sure that having trusted him as our Lord and Savior, we serve him and we live for him and we honor him. A Swedish au pair girl started to work for an English family. She had didn't have really a very good grasp of the English language. And one day she entered the room where the children she was looking after had gone berserk. They'd thrown all their toys all over the place, and it was a right mess. And the room was awful. And She said to them, or rather, what she meant to say to them was, "What on earth are you doing?" But she said instead, "What are you doing on earth?" And I wonder, what are you doing on earth? Because Jesus is coming again. We do need to be visionaries, don't we? Saying, is he coming today? But that visionary, in terms of looking to see if Jesus is coming today, needs to turn us into missionaries. And we can be missionaries as we preach the gospel in settings like this, or as Billy Graham used to do in vast auditoriums, or just sitting down with somebody who's got a broken heart and listening to them and saying you'll pray with them and having time for them, or even helping an old lady across the street. That's if she wants to go across the street, of course. But just helping other people, being kind and considerate and thoughtful. So we have this amazing vision that Jesus is coming again, which turns us into missionaries in Wantage this week for his glory. Let's pray.